Last week we got into the topic a little bit about bar mitzvah. That's a halacha that we'll talk about the next 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks of this series. We'll talk about this halacha. It's not really nizkei shchem. It's not damages between neighbors. It's a separate sugya called mitzvahs. A whole sefer just on this sugya on hilchos mitzvahs. We'll talk about tonight. And really we can spend a few weeks on it, but we'll try to put everything into 2 weeks to get a general overview about what Metzronis means, how it affects us, Lamaisa nowadays. The topic tonight is, if I want to sell my house, do I have to tell the neighbor next door to give him first rights to it? What rights does he have to get the house over anyone else in the world? Tonight we're going to talk about the Bar Mitzvah. We're going to learn this halacha that you have to give first rights to the neighbor next door. And we're going to see, does it apply to houses at all? Does it apply to our houses? That's what we're going to start with tonight. Next week we'll get into more of the details of who it applies to. And that's how we'll close out this series on neighbors. It makes sense also. We're talking about the laws of neighbors. So the last thing you do is you sell your house and you're no longer a neighbor. So now that's one of the things where that's how we'll close out this series. Okay, we'll start with the Gemara about Metzia. That's where the whole sugi is, by Matiya Kub Chesam and Alf and Amen Beis. The Gemara starts like this. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Haiman da'achli b'ni achi u'b'ni shutfi. Suppose you have three houses in a row. At the two ends, there are two brothers or two partners. And the house in the middle goes for sale, and you take possession of it. Chapitzahavi, that's a chutzpah. Because why don't you let the brothers get it so they'll have a whole row together, or the partners? What are you putting yourself in the middle there? But Salukila Salkinali, but we don't force you to move. Rav Nachman Omar, Rav Nachman says, Nayim Salkinali, force you to move. The Imishum Dinu Gabar Mesha, but if it's not that there's two brothers on the two sides, it's just that there's two houses side by side, and one house went for sale, and you bought it ahead of the next door neighbor. If it's just on Bar Mitzvah, there's just a neighbor that would want to buy it and you got it first, there also Lo Salkinalei, there Rav Nachman says, there we don't remove you. We only remove you if you're in between two brothers, two partners. That's when you not only are you not allowed to buy it, but we'll remove you. But if it's just two houses side by side and you buy one of them ahead of the neighbor, then we don't remove you. That's not the halacha. The halacha is like the Nardoi Yomi, the Nardoi say, even if it's just a bar mitzvah, even if it's just one, two houses side by side, actually we're talking about two fields side by side, even if there's two fields side by side and you went and you bought one of the fields and the person next, the field owner next to it, adjacent, wants it, we take you off the field. You, even though you bought that field, you have to give it up to that Bar Mitzvah, to that neighbor, Mishum Shenam, because the person says, you have to do what's good in the eyes of Hashem. You could buy a field anywhere. What's the difference if you buy a field here, you buy a field somewhere else? To you, it doesn't make a difference which field it is. But to that neighbor who owns the adjacent field, he can get this. This is his once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to increase his holdings, to increase his field that he could plow the whole thing at one time, harvest everything in one time. It's such a convenience to have one big field rather than two fields in two different places and have to take that tractor 5 miles an hour up the road to get to the next place or have to buy two tractors. This way you can just go through with one sweep. So that's a sisa yoshev atu b'ni Hashem. There's a mitzvah, maybe the raisa, but certainly it's enforceable by a bezdin that even though you bought it, you have to give up that, you have to give it up to the bar mitzvah, to the neighbor, for his good. We'll see next week. It's only if you have no right to hurt the seller, right? That you can't help the neighbor at the expense of the seller. For example, if you're willing to pay a certain price and the neighbor's not willing to match that price, so then the seller certainly has the right to sell it to you, right? You have to he has to be able to offer the seller the same thing. You can't do a big favor for the neighbor at the expense of the seller. We're talking where the seller will have just the same advantage of selling it to you as to the neighbor, and you just happen to step in there and get it first. So in that case, even though you made the sale already, you have to give it up for the good of the neighbor. It's like your shliach, and that shtar mecher, the deed that you make with the seller, really it could be transferred to the neighbor. You're like his agent in buying that land. That's the din of bar mitzvah. The Gemara on the day extends this halacha a little bit. Right now we're talking about lands, fields. The Gemara on Kuf Ches on the day says like this: Ara dechad, if the land belongs to one person, ubati dechad, and there's a house on top of that land belonging to another person, and the person on the one wants to sell his house, the person who has a house wants to sell that house. So the Gemara says, Mari ara ma'achim amari bati. The person who owns the land can stop the person who owns the house from selling it to a third person. He has the din of bar mitzvah over that person. But Mari Bate, but the person who has rights on the house, Lo Ma'akim Amari, he can't stop the owner from selling his land, the owner of the land, to sell his property, because we're talking where he didn't really have full rights to the house. He only had certain limited amount of time he was allowed to have his house there. So he's not really a full owner, he's on like a renter. This is what gets into the renter. We're not going to get into that so much right now. That's the halacha. The Gemara has at the end says like this: Afsik mishunisa orichva didikla. So you have these two fields side by side, but there's a rock formation in between the two fields, or there's a hedge of palm trees tightly separating between the two trees, between the two fields. So does the din of Armetz apply in that case? So the Gemara says Chazina depends. If you could get even one furrow between there's some break in the rock or break in the trees, you get one furrow between the two fields, so then Yisba Mishum Din of the Metzah, Hidaza Din of Bar Metzah, because as far as Pasha, because you have all the advantages of having fields side by side. You can plow it one shot, and it'd be nicer if those rocks wouldn't be there, but it really doesn't prevent you from having the advantages of side adjacent fields. But if you can't even get one furrow through, it's completely blocked in by that hedge of trees or that rock, it's not subject to the laws of Bar Mitzvah. Those are the ones that we're going to deal with. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the famous Tosfos, who learns from the end of this Gemara, this last Gemara that we said that there's a rock between the two properties, so then in that case there's no din of Bar Mitzvah. So Tosfos says, well, based on that, the same thing should be by two houses side by side, even though they're adjacent, but it's no better than having two fields with rocks between them. Here you have two houses with a wall between them, so the fact that one person is selling his house next door shouldn't give me the right, me the neighbor, to buy it first, because it's like two fields with a rock between it. The Lashon of Tosfos is the bayis eitzel bayis okarka she'ena omei lizriya. If you have one house next to another house, or next to land that's not going to be planted at all, lo shayach din ad bar mitzvah. There's no din ad bar mitzvah. Tosfos is going on this gemara, the other gemara, that it says if the house belongs to one person and the land belongs to the other, so there you have din ad bar mitzvah, because the house is on my property, and I could remove the house and have one field. But if you have two houses side by side, so then there's no din of bar mitzvah there. The lo shayach hasam taima the kamer v'samech l'hachnis talam echad, because the whole rights of bar mitzvah, we said, is since I could get one furrow through, I can plow through in one shot. That gives me the right to have both fields together. But if you have two houses, it doesn't make, there's nothing, it doesn't, there's no plow that you can do together. It's two separate houses, so what? You have two houses. Why have two houses side by side? You can have a house down the block just as well. It's only when you're having a field that you're going to plant, that's where you have Yoshev Etav. You have it to plow it all in one shot. And Rabbeinu Tam and Teshuvah said the same. Psak, Tosfos is quoting Rabbeinu Tam. The Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Tam in more detail. The Rabbeinu Tam has three reasons why he holds the din of bar mitzvah does not apply to houses. The third reason is the reason we just said, that just like we learned that there's a rock between the two fields, there's no bar mitzvah. So he says also houses have thick walls, between them also. So it's like a rock between the two fields. That's his third reason. His first reason is that what's the reason there's a din of our mitzvah by a field? Because you can you might not find a field somewhere else. This is a field next door. It's such a convenience to have two fields in a row. And the other person can buy a field anywhere else, right? The buyer. We'll talk about the buyer. The outsider is called the buyer, and the neighbor is the neighbor. So the neighbor has that advantage. But the buyer, the outsider, might not be able to find a field. Fields aren't so prevalent to find, Rabbeinu Tam says. A house is easy to find. A field, anyone could find a field. Right, we tell the buyer, the outsider, why are you picking on this field over here? Go buy a field somewhere else. There's plenty of land around. Buy land somewhere else. Don't pick on this person here and ruin his once in a lifetime opportunity to have two adjacent fields. You can buy a field somewhere else, but a house, it's not like the houses we know now. Houses aren't always available. It's not so easy to, it's not so simple that you'll be able to find a house somewhere. So even though we would want to do Yashav Atah, we would want to do what's right to the neighboring homeowner, but don't do it at the expense of the person who's having trouble finding a house also. This buyer is looking all over for a house, he finally found one, and now it happens the next door neighbor wants it. So that's the Rabbeinu Tam's first reason. You can force someone to do a favor when it comes to a field, because he can find a field somewhere else. But you can't force someone to do a favor for a house because he might not find a house somewhere. That's his first reason. His second reason is a little interesting, maybe it's Musar even. He says, what's happening? This person is rich. He must be rich. That's why he wants to buy the field next door, the house next door. He's wealthy. Now, if you're wealthy, so then I understand, yeah, you gain something from having more fields. Because the more fields you have, the more you'll be able to plow, the more money you'll make, the more chesed you'll do, you'll have a lot of fields. That I understand. You want to make more money with the fields. But if you have a house, as Lashon is, avo asher sheyesh lo bayis dira yafa. If you already have a nice house, you already have a mansion, you're rich, you have a big house, why do you want to buy the house next door? Lo yitochin sheyesalek halokeach miveis dirasa. It's not fair that you should take away the buyer from the house next door. And why are you going to buy it? You don't need it for yourself. You're just going to buy it to rent it out to others to make more money. That's not proper. In other words, if you're a field owner, just repeat the words. If you're buying the field next door, that, why are you doing that? Because you're wealthy. You want to buy the field next door. It makes sense. It's going to help you. Now you're going to be able to plow it all together, make more money. That makes sense. But if it's a house next door, why do you want to buy the house next door? You already have your house. You already built your house the way you want it. You fit in already. Why do you want the house next door? What are you going to do with it? You're going to have to just try to rent it out, make more money with it. You don't need it for yourself. So that's not Yashar V'Tov. Maybe you're going to want to make your house bigger. So I guess Rabbeinu Tam didn't have such a house. You should be satisfied with the house that you have. And what do you want? Just make it bigger? It's dumb. Yeah, so that the Rabbeinu Tam says is not a taina. We'll see soon. And then the third taina he says is the one we just said in the beginning, that if the Gemara says if there's a rock between the two fields, that separates it. There's no bar mitzvah. Same thing, walls between two houses. What we call about townhomes, semi-detached homes, condominiums. Walls between two houses also separate between the two, and this, the din of the bar mitzvah does not apply. So those are the Rabbeinu Tam's three reasons. Number one is that it's not so easy to find houses to buy somewhere else to say, well, the buyer, the outsider should do the neighbor a favor. Yeah, but it's at a cost. He might not find a house so easy. Number two, this neighbor already has a big house. What big favor are you letting him take the house away from you? That he should be able to rent it to friends or something like that? That's not called, you're not supposed to do such a favor. And the third reason is, what do you want to give him the house for? So he'll have two houses side by side, but there's a wall between them. There's a rocky formation between them. There are hedges of trees between them. And that's not going to, it's not like the plow, you could just plow at one time. Those are the three reasons of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rush says, Dvarim Nechonim Heim. It makes a lot of sense of what the Rabbeinu Tam is saying. Ella Shalom Nogu came, but he says the minik's not like him. that's the Rosh's conclusion. Rabbeinu Tam makes a lot of sense, but the Minhag's not like him. Now the Mukhei Yosef brings from the Rashba a simple chilek in the third reason of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rabbeinu Tam's third reason was that, look, we said if there's a rock between two fields, there's no bar mitzvah. If there's a wall between two houses, also there should be no bar mitzvah. The Rashba says something that we would say right away. We even mentioned it already. If there's rocks between two fields, you're never going to be able to dynamite them through and make it into one field. But you have two houses side by side, semi-detached houses connected to each other. The derech is, very often, what do people do when the semi-detached next door goes on sale? They buy it and they put a opening between the two and they make a bigger house. Right? It's not such an uncommon thing. So how can you, Rabbeinu Tam, prove from the case of the rock between two fields that there's no bar mitzvah rights by a house next to another house? That wall between the two houses could be breached with a wall, with a doorway, doorways, with windows, with whatever, to make it into one house. We've all seen them on Yeshiva Lane and semi-detached houses, people that do like that. Can even be upstairs and downstairs with a spiral staircase. You could get an apartment upstairs. That's something that people do. So Rabbeinu Tam's raya from the Mishonisa, from those rocks, is not any raya. Houses are different than fields. The Beis Yosef brings Rabbeinu Tam. Then he quotes the Rabbeinu Yerucham. And he waters down the Rabbeinu Tam a little bit. Rabbeinu Tam said the problem was that buy a house somewhere else. This is the way I understand it. I think the Beis Yosef is answering all three tainas of the Rabbeinu Tam. The first one was, it's not so simple to buy a house somewhere else. Why should you help out the neighbor? You know, you need this house right now. So to that, he brings Rabbeinu Yerucham. I'm not sure if this is the pshat, but maybe it's the pshat. But he certainly brings Rabbeinu Yerucham. And Rabbeinu Yerucham says that if the neighbor needs that house to use, he wants to put a bathroom in that house, or the house next door, there's Hezek Re'iyah. Right, getting back to one of the earlier shiurim in the series, there's Hezek Re'iyah. The house next door, it always bothered you that he had a chazok, he was able to look out his window into your yard, and that bothers you. So even though we say, well, what do you need another house for? The second argument, why do you need another house for? You already have a nice house, but here you have a reason. You want to prevent the house, you want to ensure your privacy by buying the house next door. Right, when the yeshiva, whenever any property went up for sale at the yeshiva, they kept on buying it up in the olden days when it wasn't so expensive, because they wanted to be private there, that nothing should be there. Of course, they built this big elementary school there, right, and that's, but that's people want privacy. So if there's a reason that why you want the house next door, so that's a reason. You want to use for a bathroom, you want to stop the people from looking in. Rabbeinu Yerucham says that even according to Rabbeinu Tam, that should give you a right to buy the house next door. And then the Beis Yosef continues. According to the reason that we said, what do you need a house for? You already have a nice big house. You're wealthy, you have a big house. What do you need that property next door? So he says, well, if you want to expand your house, you have reason, you have more children now, and you want to expand your house, so then that knocks out the Rabbeinu Tam's second taina. Right? Just like we said, it's convenient to have a field next to your present field, because that way you can plow all at once, like wealthy people do. You have a bigger, more holdings now. The same thing could be with a house. You have a house now, and the house next door, what do you need it for? Because maybe you need more room. Maybe there's more children in the house. Maybe your parents are going to move in. Right? You need the extra space. So that takes care of the second taina. And the third taina that we said, well, there's this wall in between it. So first of all, we said from the Rashba, you can put a hole through it. But let's say that it's built so strong, like the old-fashioned houses, that you can't put you can't put any doorway, passageway between two houses. Maybe there's electricity there. Let's even assume the Beis Yosef says that you can't do anything to go from one house to the next. He says it's still, and listen to this well, he says it still could be possible to have a din bar mitzvah there. Why? Because maybe even though you can't use it as bedrooms, but you could use that second house as a place for storage. You put your wood there, your oil, your wine, You can put your needs of your house over there. You could still use it. You'll have to walk outside to get it, but it still could be one use as a house. Or he says maybe you could even use it as a residence, and you put some fence around. You put some fence around the, some wall around the whole property, around the two houses, and then you'll be able to walk from one to the other, and make it all one residence. So the Beis Yosef says, even if it would be, he's basing this on the Mordechai, even if it would be a very thick, or this would be a thin wall, so then we already said from the Rashi, it's Pashut, that the Rabbi Natan shouldn't apply. You put a hole through it, and it's not like this, it's not like the rocks anymore. But even if you want to say that it's a thick wall like a rock that you can't knock through, still, it's not like in the case of the field. By the field, you have two fields side by side. If you can't get one from one to the other, there's nothing you can do about it. If there's no way to get a plow from one to the other, even going around, there's no way to do it. So that's two separate fields. There's no bar mitzvah on that. But by a house, even if the two houses can't be adjoined with any opening, you can't get through, put any opening between the walls, but you could either put a fence around it, a wall around it to make it private, or you can use one for storage, and that could, like a garage, like a shed, and the shed happens to be next door, that's all part of a residence. So the Beis Yosef says that from Beis Yosef he ends up rejecting the Rabbeinu Tam's reasons, and in the Shulchan Aruch he says, the Ramah clearly says, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to hold that way also, the Ramah says that we do have a din of bar mitzvah by houses. Right, the Rabbeinu Tam is a das yochid. The Shach says that he's such a das yochid that even if you have a shayla and you want to add the Rabbeinu Tam as an additional reason, and you can't even add it as an additional reason because everyone disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. Everyone holds that just like there's a din of bar mitzvah by fields, there's also a din of bar mitzvah by houses. Right, that's that would mean that the Tzrichos Choshen says from there, even if you're not going to knock a hole between the two houses, you're just going to leave the houses side by side. We see from the Beis Yosef that that's called, it's still called a usage that that's helpful to a homeowner to have the house next door, to use for storage, to use build a wall around it, to so you can even use it as a residence, and you have a dinner by metro by houses side by side. Now there's still machlokas. I think it's a machlokas. The Mishpat Torah Shvitz, the contemporary, says you have to be honest with yourself. This is only talking where when you buy the house, why do you, the neighbor, want to buy the house next door? Why do you want to force out that other person that bought it? Why do you want to force them out? Because you want to use it for your residence. You have more children now, and your parents are moving in. You want to have one big house for everyone. But if you're doing it because your children got married and you want them to live close by so you could keep an eye on them, but it's not going to live mamish next to each other, it's going to be a separate house, it's just going to be next door. So in that case, Mishpat Torah says the din of bar mitzvah doesn't apply. It has to be like a field where the field is going to be like one sweep, you plow everything at one shot. These two houses are going to be like one big house, whether you can break through the wall, you have to go around. Either way, it has to be used as a residence. But if you're using it because you want your friends to move in, you want your parents to move in and have a separate house, you want your children to move in and have a separate house, so in that case, the bar mitzvah doesn't apply. They say even, right, it comes out a little ironic, like suppose the reason you're moving away is because you don't like your neighbor. Right, he gets on your nerves all the time and you finally say, I can't take it anymore, I'm going to move. So what you have to do is you have to sell the house to him and do him a favor that he should, you know, it's going to be a question who outlasts the other one, because as soon as one of them leaves, the other one has the first right to buy the house. So we can't say, well, I don't like you. The only heter you have is if you need it for yourself, right? I'm sorry, he needs it for yourself. The only heter is if he doesn't need it at all. So then, you know, if he's going to make a profit with it, so then why give it to him? Give it to someone else. Now that's the Mishpatei Torah says. Tzrichos Choshen, he seems to say that even if you're buying the house to rent to someone else, so the din of bar mitzvah still applies. Why should it apply? It's not one dira, he says, because it's convenient to have your rental property be a landlord right next door. Well, most landlords don't like to be right next door to the tenants. But maybe, and if you're really honest, you do want to be next door to make sure things are working out well, And I think the machloket, if it's a machloket, I think it's based on how you understand the Beis Yosef here, right? Or the Rashba, right? They're saying, like, the way the Rabbeinu Tam said, how can we buy a field? There's a din of bar mitzvah because if someone's rich, he's wealthy, it's good for him to have the fields all together, so he can plow everything together. But if it's houses, what do you want to do? Just to buy a second house to rent to someone else? Right? So that's what Rabbeinu Tam said. Now, we don't hold like the Rabbeinu Tam. So does that mean that we reject everything he said? And he said, oh, and you just want to rent it to someone else? And we said, yeah, it's okay. If you want to rent it to someone else, there's still a din of the bar mitzvah. That's the way Pesachim Choshen, I think, is looking at it. But the Mishnah Torah is saying, which I could hear a little bit better, we're not rejecting the Rabbeinu Tam's Svara. We're just saying that it doesn't apply here. The Rabbeinu Tam's Svara was, there's no din of bar mitzvah by houses, because what do you need a second house for? Just to rent it to someone else? And the answer that Beis Yosef said is, no, that's not why you need the second house. You need the second house because, like the Rashba said, you want to put a wall through it and make it bigger, or because you'll, like the Beis Yosef said, that you'll build a mechitza around it so you could use it as a residence, go out the front door into the other front door, or you'll use the second one as a storage place for your house. Right, that's where we disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. But we agree with him that it wouldn't be right to for the neighbor to buy that set house next door and then just rent it out to someone else when there's someone that really needs to buy a house to live in it. You know, so for your investment, that doesn't outweigh this person's need of a residence. And the truth is, the same shayla says applies by fields. Suppose you have regular fields where bar mitzvah certainly applies, and the next door neighbor wants to buy that adjacent field, wants to buy it, this field, in order to sell it. So if you have a din of bar mitzvah, that seems the shalom eshev, as the shayla he brings, Pashas, and he doesn't. No, Svara is that you should be able to have one place. That's the favor the buyer has to do to allow this person to have adjacent properties. They're nice to have them together. But the just that you're going to do it and make some of the profit, that doesn't seem to be the din of Yashua Tov that we're talking about over here. So that's the first part. We've discovered that the Gemara says there's a din of bar mitzvah, even though someone already bought the adjacent field. He already paid money for it. He's just considered a shliach for the neighbor, and that neighbor, even though the sale's already done and he knew about it ahead of time that it was for sale, and he didn't take action to buy it first, someone else bought it first, but now he has the right to, within a certain time limit, to go to that person, to that buyer, and say, I want the field back. Does the same thing apply to houses? Rabbeinu Tam says it doesn't, for his three reasons. And we say the minhag's not like that. The Rush says lo nagu kein. The Ramah clearly says there is a din of bar mitzvah by houses, and it seems according to Mishpatei Torah that only applies where the next door neighbor wants to use the house as a residence or as a storage for his own house, but not if he's using it as an investment to sell it to someone else, or even if he wants to sell it, use it that his parents should buy it or that his children should buy it who are married already. It's only if he wants to make one big house out of it, but not that if he wants to just, he likes to have this neighbor rather than some outsider who bought the house. That's the first part of what I want to talk about. Second issue is, once we see that there is a din of bar mitzvah by houses, so we've been talking about things that are adjacent, whether it's semi-detached houses or townhouses or condominiums, which we mentioned, even if it's an upstairs or a downstairs, you can turn it into a residence, a one-family residence with a staircase. But how about nowadays, like in our neighborhood, where the houses aren't attached to each other? You have one house over here, and then 30 feet away, 60 feet away, there's another house. And that house goes for sale, and he sells it to someone else, without you knowing it, with you knowing it, and now you go to the buyer and say, look, I live next door and I want to take the house. I have a din of bar mitzvah. I want to take the house. According to Mishpatei Torah, I'm going to use it as a residence. I'm going to have my children live on that side and I'll live in this one. My not married children, you know, as one house. I'm going to use it to store things in. I'll use it for storage. It'll be my shed. I want your house to become my shed. Can I say such a taina? The truth is, it's not so clear in the poskim about what the halacha is. I have what I think might help us understand what the halacha could be. Now we'll start with the Taz. the Taz on this halacha and Siman Kuf Ayin Hey, Sifan on Gimel, that's where the Rama says that the din of Bar Mitzvah applies to houses. The Taz says like this, merely, Deim Einon Samuchim Mamish, if the houses aren't exactly adjacent to each other, El Yesh Ktaz Derech Hiluch B'nei Adam B'neiyem, rather there's a little path where people can walk between the two houses. Ein Kan Din Metzronis, you've lost all dinim of Metzronis. Bechim Mashma B'Beis Yosef, and it's Mashma that way from the Beis Yosef, the Atam Shekasa B'Shem HaRavid, because he said in the name of the Ravid, Shevabatim Yesh Metzronis, why is there Metzronis by houses? Mishum Shadakan Lechavim V'Psachim, because you put walls, we have from the Rashba, he quotes from the Ravid, that you put openings between the two houses. That's why there's a din of Bar Mitzvah by a house. That's not Shayach over here, where there's people walking between the two houses. It's not adjacent. It's only where they're adjacent, where you could put walls between through the two. That's where you have a din of Bar Mitzvah. But you don't have a din of Bar Mitzvah in a case where the houses can't be attached together. That's what the Taz says from the Beis Yosef. The Marsham, in his Sefer Mishpat Shalom, that's his Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, he says that he just borrowed a Sefer that just came out, Shoshanas Yaakov. It's a Sefer on Shulchan Aruch, I don't have it. And this Shoshanas Yaakov wanted to slug up the Taz from the other Beis Yosef that we had. Because the Beis Yosef, if you recall in his third argument against the Rabbi Natan, said there's a difference if you have rocks between two fields and thick walls that can't be penetrated also between two houses. But he said, if you have a thick rock, if you have rocks between two fields, there's no way you can go from one to the next. You can't use it as one field. But if you have two houses side by side, even though you can't break through and open up a opening between them, but he said, you could use one for oil, to storage, or your oil, your wine, or he said you could build a mechitza around the two and connect them that way. So this Shoshanas Yaakov said, well, if you can build a mechitza between two houses that are adjacent, side by side, semi-detached houses, you could do the same thing even if they're detached. You'll build a wall between the two to stop the people from going through, and that way you'll have one big residence again. Why should it be any different? And the Marsham says, you misunderstood the Taz. The Taz is talking where his first shot is. The Taz is talking where the people have a Meitzah Hachzika B'Rabim. We spoke about also a few times ago that even though the person owns that property, but over the course of time, the public had used it as a thoroughfare, and you're not allowed to stop them anymore. Or he said it's talking where they actually own. It's a public alley between the two that it's actually owned. That's where the Taz said you can't say Dinah de Bar Mitzvah. And because he said, since you're not going to be able to join the two houses together, there's people walking through, there's no Bar Mitzvah. I let him build a fence around it, he's not allowed to, because it's a Meitzah Shehechzika B'Rabim, it's owned by other people. You have no right to build a fence to connect the two houses. The Beis Yosef was talking where the two houses were adjacent and Mom is touching each other, so there you could build a fence around it to make it into like one residence. But here where there's people have rights to walk through between the two houses, he says the Taz is certainly correct in saying there's no din of Bar Mitzvah here, and the Beis Yosef is no taina against him, because Beis Yosef is talking about a different case. That's what the Marsham said. The Marsham has a tshuva, a similar tshuva. There's someone's a house, and someone wanted to buy the house next door, which also there was some space, and to use it as a store. And he also ended up that there's no din of Bar Mitzvah over there. Now, the question is, how about our houses over here? We have houses side by side. I have my house and the house next door is for sale. And there's no one that owns the property between the two. Right? No one owns, I own up to the line and the neighbor owns up to that line. If I buy his property next door, I will own both houses without any impediment. Now, do we say that, okay, so maybe I want to buy that house next door, and what I'll do is I'll build from my house to his house, a breezeway, or I'll build walls, make a big house, and that gives me the ability, just like we said, if the houses are adjacent, I could put a wall, a hole between them and make it into one big house. Here also I can build between the two, right? The Tetzri Choshen brings from the Kesef Kadoshim that if the two houses are not right next to each other, if you have rights to walk with yourself, to walk between them, there is a din of bar mitzvah because you can always expand the house and connect them. So can we say the same thing over here, that I have this one house and next door there's another house and I'll just go build between the two? The Mishpat Shalom said it's only a problem. The Marsham said it's only a problem where people have rights. They own rights between the two, but here no one owns rights. I own both houses. Let me buy the house next door and I can build between them. The only problem is, I don't think you could do it so easily because according to zoning laws, I think it's a big hassle to be able to connect one house with the next house. You have to change the whole, and he's not here tonight, but I think there's a, it's not so simple to just build between one to the other. If it's zoned that you have a house, you have setbacks. Even if you own the house next door, you have to get a variance, and the neighbors will complain, you're going to change the nature of the neighborhood. Right? So that's the shy that I have. Is when you have the two houses side by side, semi-detached, so there the halacha is clear. We don't hold go by the Rebbein Tam. You can put a wall between them. You hold between them in that, through that wall, and even if you can't, you put a fence around it, and that's good enough. On the other extreme is, if people have rights to walk between the two, there's an alley between the two houses, certainly there is no bar mitzvah, because what are you going to do? You can't build between it. The people can walk through there. You can't even put a fence there, because the people have those rights, and you're stuck. Our question is in between. Our case is in between. You have the two houses side by side, and no one owns any rights between them. But there's laws. The neighbors have the right to block you, right? From covenants, from variances. They have the right, zoning. They have the right to stop you from building between the two. So, what do you do in that case? Well, on one hand, we could say, well, you could build a fence, a big fence around it, but then might also need a permit to build, make a fence into one, and that should be considered one house. So, I was thinking like this, the Marsham brings a tshuva of the Rashbat, that in that case that we mentioned, the Marsham's case, where someone had a house and then you went to the store, and the person who owned the house wanted to get that other property to build a store. I said, the people have the right to walk through, because he says, look, I'll go through Din Ramachus, I'll go to the government, and I'll get the right to build between them to stop them from walking through. So to that, the Rashbam said, you can't go by what you might do in the future and you'll go get a permission from the government to do it. You have to deal with the way things are now. And he brings a raya, because like Binyamin said in the beginning, we said that if there's a row of trees between the two houses, between the two fields, there's no bar mitzvah. Right, so the Rashbat asks, what do you mean? Let's say, right now there's a row of trees, the trees could die, you can knock down trees. Why don't we say that maybe you can move the trees away and turn it into one field? So the Rashbat says, you see from there, that you have to deal with the fact the way they are now. Right now, these are two separate fields, separated by a hedge of trees that are impenetrable, and you have to deal with it as two separate fields, even though somehow you can change it that one day it will become one field. So the Marsham says, based on this Rashbat, the same thing is over here. Even though you might be able to get some permission to stop the people from going through the path, close down that path, and ask the government to stop it so you can build it all together, but right now they have that right to do it, and therefore you can't stop them. So maybe it's not exactly the same, but maybe that will be an analogy to our case. Right now, you cannot connect your house with the house next door because there's zoning laws, there's covenants, and you're going to have to get permission to do it. Right? It's not the same as that case because no one's walking through, but still there's something stopping you from connecting the two houses, the zoning laws, the variances. You can go get a variance and make it permitted. You can have people sign on the covenant to waive that problem. But right now it's not here. You have to deal with the way it is right now. Right now when you look at these two houses, you're looking at two separate houses with no possibility, the way it is now, of connecting. You can't call a contractor and say, I want the houses to connect. You have to get a permit, you have to variance, and get the covenant change. That's not one, it's not a position right now of two houses that can be connected. So it would seem, based on that, that you wouldn't have a din bar mitzvah in houses that are not currently attached. Maybe the only argument I could say is, but maybe you could build a fence between them and turn it into one residence. Maybe it'll be similar to the case, so use that for storage. But in Pashas, it doesn't seem so likely. To reveal what we've done tonight, we discovered this din of bar mitzvah, which fits in, by the way, last week when we spoke about selling it to an aklum. Then bar mitzvah doesn't apply because if you're buying it from an aklum, it doesn't apply because you should be happy that I came into the neighborhood, I'm your new neighbor. And if you sell it to an aklum, we said that the aklum doesn't have to keep yashar etav, it's not his halacha, it's our halacha. And we put you in chayrim for selling it to that aklum unless you accept upon all losses from his possible wrong lawsuits according to halacha. Right, so that's last week's year. This week we learned that in normal conditions, when you sell it to a Jew, there is a din of bar mitzvah, the neighbor, next door neighbor of the field, or the house, the way we, our minig is, can tell the buyer, I want to take it from you, I'll give you the same exact price that you paid, and now it's my field, now it's my house. However, the pashas is only talking where you're, just like the field is talking, right now you can plow it all together as one field. The house you're also going to use as one single residence, not that you're buying it to use as a separate residence or to rent to someone else. That's the pashtus. When the houses are not connected, so there we talked about if you could easily connect them, there's no problem in connecting them, there's nothing standing in the way. So the fact that you're buying all the rights, that's what we see from the Kesef Kadoshim, gives you the din of the bar mitzvah. If someone has rights between them, or now it's clear that there is no din of bar mitzvah, that's the pasuk halacha, that if people have a way to go through, there is no bar mitzvah, that's the Hashem defended him. Our shayla at the end was, suppose no one has the right to go through, but it can't be easily connected because there's some civil law that prevents you from doing so. You have to get permission, you have to get the law changed, you have to get a variance, you have to get covenants changed. So there, we thought from the Rashbag to the Tshuva that you deal with the way they are now, not the way they could be.